This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Monday, April 16th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. Going to start in the NHL playoffs. And a lot happened over the weekend in the NHL. And we'll get to the suspensions, non-suspensions, three-game suspensions, no-game suspensions. We'll get to that in a minute. But the first game I did want to talk about, because this is shocking to me in any event, and there's going to be a bunch of suspensions coming out of this game. The Penguins, after dropping the first two to Philadelphia in Pittsburgh, go down to Philly for games 3 and 4. And Philly hammers Pittsburgh yesterday, Philadelphia 8, Pittsburgh 4. I mean, what can you say about Fleury, the Pittsburgh goalie? He's now given up 17 goals in three games. Pittsburgh's given up 20 goals in total. Malkin has no goals for Pittsburgh. Philly hammers Pittsburgh yesterday, 8-4, to take a commanding 3-0 lead in the series. Danny Briere, Max Talbot, Matt Reed, all with two goals for the Flyers. Briere with his third and fourth, Talbot with his second and third, Reed with his first two of the playoffs. Just amazing. But I think what's even more amazing now, and maybe it's just Pittsburgh thinks they're going to lose now, but the behavior of Sidney Crosby, supposedly the face of the NHL, and if you saw the play that started it all, there's a shot, Brizgalov, the Philly goalie, makes a glove save to the left of the net, and then there's Crosby hitting Brizgalov's glove not once, but twice. Now, he had a closed glove over the puck was not loose. And, yeah, Crosby was trying to smack it out of the goalie's hand, but kind of a no-no, led to pushing and shoving and fighting, which led to a bunch of other things. Crosby, I thought, played very chippy. And, look, it was a chippy game. It's been a chippy series. Pittsburgh sees the light. They're going to get eliminated. They're in deep trouble. And they've been hammered all three games. I mean, again, 20 goals in three games in the NHL playoffs. Just stunning stuff. So Philly up 3-0. Number of fights, number of cheap shots. There was one hair-pulling incident. I think there's going to be a bunch of suspensions out of this. Claude Giroux and Simmons also scored for Philadelphia. Those were their 8 goals in total. For Pittsburgh, Jordan Staal scored. James Neal had 2 goals, and Jordan Staal had 2 goals. Those were the 4 goals for Pittsburgh. So 5 guys scored 2 goals in an NHL playoff game yesterday. I wonder if that's some kind of record. But in any event, there'll be suspensions coming out of this game. There's already been a bunch of suspensions we'll get to in a minute. But most important, the Philadelphia Flyers 8, Pittsburgh Penguins 4, 3-0, game 4 in Philly. And you can bet that the Flyers do not want to go back to Pittsburgh. Of course, Pittsburgh's saying all the right things, one game at a time, we can win 4 in a row, blah, blah, blah. But nobody's blaming Fleury, supposedly, but in the locker room, if your top goalie, your Stanley Cup winning goalie, has given up 17 goals in 3 games, there's got to be a problem there. So Philadelphia with a commanding 3-0 lead. We'll have to wait to see what Brendan Shanahan, the NHL Dean of Discipline, does with this game. We're going to get to in a minute what Brendan Shanahan has already done, good or bad. Another game yesterday, you know, Detroit never loses at home, right? So Detroit stole one in Nashville. You have to think Detroit has the upper hand now with the home ice advantage and 3 more games in Detroit. But yesterday, give Nashville credit. Nashville 3, Detroit 2 in Detroit. Now, Shea Weber scored the first goal of the game for Nashville. And if you followed this over the weekend, you must have seen what Shea Weber did to Zetterberg of the Red Wings 50 times. And what he did was he literally took Zetterberg's head in his hands and banged the guy's head against the boards. Just unbelievable. And inexplicably, I think, Brendan Shanahan did not suspend Weber. He only gave him a $2,500 fine. Now, Shanahan was on this morning with Boomer and Carton on WFAN in New York City. I heard most of the interview with respect to the Shea Weber banging Zetterberg's head against the glass. Shanahan said that it was a bargain for part of the collective bargaining agreement with the players that he, Shanahan, should consider what injury, if any, was done to the player who was, in this case, Zetterberg, who had his head banged against the glass. Now, when he had his head banged against the glass, he crumbled to the ground, but he kept playing. Apparently, Shanahan spoke to the Red Wings, and they said, no, the player wasn't hurt. So rather than give Shea Weber a game, which, of course, he should have, especially in light of what happened later in other games, he just decided to fine him $2,500. When asked why the $2,500 fine only, he said that's the highest that he has the power to fine a person. So obviously that's a joke. Shanahan should have given him a game. He didn't. What happened since then, though, if you watch the highlight of the Rangers-Senators games, now, Brian Boyle absolutely took Erik Karlsson in game one. Erik Karlsson, the superstar Ottawa defenseman. The guy is unbelievable. But he just, like, smacked him a few times at close range in the face, kind of pushing his glove in his face four or five times in game one. And you knew, and Brian Boyle had to know, that in game two they were going to come back and get him. And they sent out their goons. Ottawa sent out their goons. Clearly there was a decision on the part of Ottawa, the only way we're winning the series is to be incredibly physical, beat up the Rangers. Ranger fans would say dirty. But at the beginning of the game, Matt Karkner went after Boyle, got him in the corner, punched him. Boyle offered no resistance, punched him again, knocked him down, punched him four more times on the ground. Boyle never even took his gloves off. Dubinsky is the first man in. Boyle doesn't do anything. He's just defenseless on the ground in the fetal position. And what happens is they give Karkner 5 minutes for fighting and Boyle nothing. I've never seen this in the history of hockey. I'd like to know if it's ever happened before. Is it really a fight when you have one guy fighting and another guy just standing there being pummeled, when one guy gets 5 minutes for fighting and the other guy gets nothing? So Dubinsky gets ejected for being the third man in. And again, the theory of the third man in is the third man in a fight. What if there's no fight? So Dubinsky gets ejected. And later in that game, Carl Hagelin, a rookie for the Rangers, a good player, a clean player, never had a five-minute penalty, never had a misconduct. He does go in high into Daniel Alfredsson, the captain of the Ottawa Senators, bangs his head, elbows him in the head, bangs him against the glass. Alfredsson crumbles, leaves the game, doesn't come back. Now, Alfredsson has a history of at least one concussion, and they announced yesterday, Ottawa, that he has another concussion. There's a question as to whether or not he's going to play tonight in Game 3. But Shanahan came out yesterday after not giving Shea Weber anything. He gives Hagelin 3 games, and he gives Karkner 1 game. So, of course, in New York today, it's like an insane asylum. Now, I happened to be on the radio Sunday morning from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. on WFAN, and there was a reel at the beginning, would Hagelin get suspended? And some people thought no, and some people thought maybe, and I'm not sure. And you know, it was pretty clear to me, you have a rookie who hits a Hall of Famer, the captain of the Ottawa Senators, who had a concussion before and has a concussion now. So you know he's getting games. And I went on the air and said, there's no question whether he's getting suspended or not. He's getting suspended. The only question is how many games. Turned out to be 3. Certainly I and tons of Ranger fans think that's too many. Shanahan, again, on the radio and WFAN in New York today, tried to explain it and actually did a fairly good job. He distinguished an elbow to the head as opposed to, according to him, a clean check that Phillips had made earlier on Callahan. Tortorella, after the game, was asked, should Hagelin be suspended? And he said only if Phillips is suspended. And then Shanahan was very vehement that those were two totally different hits, that the Phillips hit was not a dirty hit, was not to the head, whereas the Hagelin hit was to the head of Alfredsson. And again, interestingly, and I don't think anybody knew this, according to Shanahan, it's in the collective bargaining agreement between the players and the owners that he, Shanahan, has to take into consideration the injury. Which is interesting because he doesn't know if Alfredsson playing tonight or if he's out for the rest of the playoffs. So So it sounds like he tried to find the middle ground when Boomer Esiason, a hockey fan, pointed out to him that Haglund's a clean-cut kid. He's from Sweden. Alfredson's one of his heroes. Alfredson also from Sweden. He didn't mean anything. He texted Alfredson after the game. I hope you're okay. I'm sorry. Blah, blah, blah. Shanahan's answer was, yeah, if he was a bad guy or if he had a history of these things, he would have got more than three games. He only got three games because he's a clean player. So that was fascinating. Obviously, the people in New York don't look at it that way. And in terms of Karkner only getting a game, that was pretty interesting as well. His analysis was he hit him in the face and knocked him down, but then when he was on the ground, he hit him five times but never hit him in the head. He only hit him, like, in the shoulders or the arms or the back or whatever. So he thought that a one-game suspension fit the, you know, that punishment would fit that crime. Now, it's interesting, because the talk in New York today is you have to look at the intent of the player. And clearly, when Boyle was getting beat up, the intent of the player was to beat him up. When Haglund hit Alfredson, the intent was not to hurt Alfredson, one of Haglund's heroes. So they go back and forth on this on the radio. I got to say, Shanahan did a good job. I don't agree with it, but he did a good job in defending his position. But the most interesting thing coming out of that, well, was twofold. The most he can fine the guy is $2,500. So he didn't say he should have suspended Weber for a game, although he should have. He did say it was a close call. So the most you can fine a guy is $2,500, and the difference is either $2,500 or a one-game suspension. He should have erred on the side of a one-game suspension, I think. But he didn't. So as a result of that, people are saying, oh, everybody thought it was open season and they could do what they want. I don't believe that for a second. But having said that, Haglund, three games sounds like a lot of games. I thought it would be one or two. I thought that would be the distinction, either one game or two, not would he not be suspended at all. But in any event, Haglund has three games. Now, the Rangers announced they won't appeal, but they do have until before the game tonight to appeal. And if they do appeal, then Haglund can definitely play tonight at least. You might think after all of this result, it would be worth it for them to appeal because they might, it goes to Bettman, the commissioner, not to Shanahan, and he might knock that down from three games to two games. So very interesting stuff going on. Karkner gets a game. Haglund gets three. Shea Weber gets nothing, which, again, is just bizarre. Now, Shea Weber has had a big effect, as I said, in the Nashville Red Wing series. Shea Weber scored the first goal in Nashville's 3-2 victory yesterday. Kevin Klein gave them a two-goal lead. Datsyuk scores for the Red Wings. But then Sergei Kostitsyn scores in the third period to make it 3-1 Nashville. Zetterberg scores very late, but Nashville gets that win 3-2. The NHL really has to look at these suspensions and try to be more consistent. But what we learned is the most they can fine a guy is $2,500. That's a joke. But we also learned that the injury can be taken into account by Brendan Shanahan, and clearly he's done that almost to a fault. Zetterberg wasn't injured, so Shea Weber got a $2,500 fine. He should have been suspended. You can't take a guy's head in your hands and bang it against the glass, even if the guy doesn't get hurt. Haglund got three games. That seems to be a game too much to me, but everyone's debating the inconsistencies, if you will, in New York. So we'll go over the rest of the NHL after this. We'll get to the NBA. We'll get to Major League Baseball. The Roger Clemens trial starts today in Washington. A lot going on. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Think Fish with Frank Reese on Blue Zoo Radio. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. exclusively on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
If you are a diabetic and concerned about maintaining your healthy blood glucose levels, please stay tuned to this important message. A market trial offer is starting now for a revolutionary breakthrough in natural blood sugar management called Glymetrol, and you're eligible to try it free for 30 days. We are looking for 200 callers to receive a free trial, so call immediately. 1-888-799-9950. The ups and downs you experience from naturally fluctuating blood sugar levels can be frustrating. Clinical studies of the key ingredients in Glymetrol have shown these ingredients to be effective in supporting healthy glucose management. And now this new formula is being released to the general public. Your area has been selected to try it right now for free. The first 200 callers are guaranteed participation in the trial. Call immediately to find out how to receive your free 30-day trial. Phone lines are open now, 1-888-799-9950. 1-888-799-9950.
This is a referral service. Calls will be routed to an independent referral insurance agency.
Listen up, America!
Listen up, America. I'm talking to anyone with or without a pre-existing medical condition. A health insurance hotline has now been established to provide health insurance for all Americans, even uninsured Americans with pre-existing conditions. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote on affordable health plans available to you. 1-800-690-6110. I repeat, this is a hotline providing free quotes for affordable health plans. It's for anyone without health insurance, even if you have pre-existing conditions. Medical costs are the number one cause of bankruptcy and financial distress. All uninsured Americans are strongly urged to call this National Health Insurance Hotline right away to protect yourself and your family from an unexpected variety of medical costs that could cause financial hardship. Call the Health Insurance Hotline right now for a free quote at 1-800-690-6110. That's 1-800-690-6110. Call 1-800-690-6110.
You're listening to thesportstalknetwork.com.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, call toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventors' information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how you can get your free information just by dialing toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product or don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call, so call InventHelp right now.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
In these hard economic times, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you have a car, truck, or SUV, you can stop paying for all covered repairs. That's right. You might not have to pay a penny more than you want for repairs. Just call 1-877-246-0508 right now to see if you qualify. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past if your vehicle has less than 130,000 miles. Just call 877-246-0508 today and get your car protected, saving you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Phone lines are open right now. See if your vehicle qualifies. Just call 1-877-246-0508 to get your car protected today. Call 877-246-0508. That's 1-877-246-0508. Never pay for covered car repairs again. Just call 877-246-0508. That's 877-246-0508.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Two more playoff games last night. New Jersey down in Florida after winning game one. And again, Jersey's probably favored to beat Florida, even though Florida won their division. But yesterday at home, Florida Panthers 4, New Jersey Devils 2. Stephen Weiss scores the first two goals of the game. Marcel Gock scores his first, 3-0 after two. Devils come back. Travis Zajac scores. Kovalchuk gets his first goal. 3-2, but then Thomas Fleischmann scores an empty netter late. Florida 4, New Jersey 2. That series all tied at one game apiece, but New Jersey has taken away home ice advantage from the Florida Panthers. Another stunner, the Los Angeles Kings now lead the Vancouver Canucks 3-0. Vancouver benches Roberto Luongo. Corey Schneider starts in goal. He plays well. But Vancouver takes 41 shots at Jonathan Quick, an excellent young goaltender. Quick stops them all. Los Angeles 1, Vancouver nothing. Dustin Brown with the only goal of the game wins the game for the Los Angeles Kings, and they're now up 3-0 on the President's Trophy winning Vancouver Canucks, and everybody's talking about it, of course, and 8 can be the 1. Los Angeles and 8 now leads Vancouver a 1, 3-0. Ottawa and 8 tied with the New York Rangers 1-1. But Vancouver, again, we talked about the good Luongo, the bad Luongo. They needed the good Luongo to advance in the playoffs, and they didn't get him the first two games. They went with Schneider, who played well. But Vancouver outshoots the Kings 41-20 and loses. Los Angeles 1, Vancouver nothing. Hard to believe that Pittsburgh can come back from 3-0 down against Philly. Hard to believe that Vancouver can come back from 3-0 down to the Kings. Now, the only excuse, and it's a bit of an excuse, is Daniel Sedin has been out the whole series for Vancouver, and obviously he's the guy who makes that team go. But they got a lot of other players, including his brother, and they just haven't been able to get the job done. Kings 1, Vancouver nothing. We'll do the hockey games tonight a little later in the show, TV and where it is and things of that nature. But I hate to say it because I love hockey, but it's really more about the punishment, the disgrace. I mean, I would call it a disgrace. I would call that Philly-Pittsburgh series a disgrace. I don't think there's any other way around it. And again, Shanahan's going to be busy today. Now he must be looking at tapes of last night's Philly-Pittsburgh game to see what the latest suspensions are going to be. Now the NBA, we'll get to the baseball a little later. Obviously, baseball just starting. NBA in the shortened 66-game season. They're getting down pretty much to the last week of the year. And certainly there are a number of games with playoff implications. Yesterday at Madison Square Garden, there was a game that might be a first-round matchup. Miami, playing poorly on the road, comes up to New York to play the Knicks in Madison Square Garden, but Miami gets the win, 93-85, 42 points in defeat for Carmelo Anthony, 43 minutes, 14 for 27 from the field, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, an excellent game for Carmelo, but he gets his 42. The Knicks only have one other player in double digits, and that's J.R. Smith with 16. So it's a problem. A lot of people feared if they turned the team over to Carmelo that he would score 30, 35, 40, and the Knicks would lose. That's happened a few times now. Not Carmelo's fault. I mean, you're playing the big three. LeBron has 29 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists. Dwayne Wade, 28 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. Chris Bosh, 16 points, 4 rebounds. I mean, that's a tough trio to beat. Miami, I think their problems are going to be, as we've talked about, they just get nothing out of their bench. You know, James Jones with 5 points, Joel Anthony with 4 points, Shane Battier with 3 points, Mike Miller with 3 points. I mean, they get nothing out of their bench. But they're good enough to beat the Knicks, 93-85. Besides Anthony, J.R. Smith, 16 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals. But then it was Chandler, 9 points, 5 rebounds. You know, Field started, had 4 points. Davis started, had 3 points. Shumpert started, had 3 points. So the rest of your starters after Carmelo scored 19 points. And guess what? You're not winning games like that. Just, you're not going to win games like that. Somehow Mike Bibby gets these minutes over Tony Douglas. I always thought Tony Douglas could play defense and Mike Bibby can't. But Bibby was Mike Woodson's point guard for a few years at Atlanta. Douglas did not play coach's decision. Bibby played 5 minutes, no points, no assists, 1 rebound. Again, Miami 93, Knicks 85. Miami trying to close that gap on Chicago. Unlikely that they'll get there. But this might be a round one playoff matchup, Miami and the Knicks. Another interesting game, the Kobe-less Lakers. Now, Kobe's missed five games in a row now with a sore left shin. Nick, the Lakers are 4-1 without Kobe, so give them credit. Dallas comes into the Garden, and you know, Dallas just isn't the same team without Tyson Chandler and J.J. Barea. It's been pretty clear. Yesterday, Dallas comes into Los Angeles to play the Lakers without Kobe. You have to figure they have a good chance to win, but they don't. Lakers 112, Mavericks 108 in overtime. Bynum becoming a man before our eyes, 23 points, 16 rebounds, 2 assists. Ramon Sessions, who is an upgrade at the point over Fisher for Los Angeles, 22 points, 5 assists. He's a very good player, Ramon Sessions. Gasol, 20 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. Meta World Peace, formerly Ron Artest, 18.6 rebounds. Barnes, 11 points, 11 rebounds off the bench. Lakers with a good win. They move to 39 and 22. Dallas drops to 34 and 27. Dirk Nowitzki, 24 points, 14 rebounds. Jason Terry off the bench with 21. West with 20 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. But it's not enough. Lakers get the job done in overtime. Lakers 12, Mavericks 108. One other game, the Bulls go to Detroit to beat the Pistons. The news there, obviously, Derrick Rose coming back. Played much better this time than he did 1-for-13 last game. 24 points, 9 assists for Rose, 4 rebounds. Played 41 minutes, so he must be 100%. The Bulls get the win in overtime. Bulls 100, Pistons 94. Pistons going nowhere, 22-38. Bulls 46-14, so they're they have 3 less losses than Miami. It's unlikely they're going to lose 3 games the rest of the year. Joakim Noah had a monster game, 20 points, 17 rebounds. Boozer with 15-9. Rip Hamilton with 13. Korver coming alive, we talked about him. I think he's the key, or one of the keys in terms of them scoring. He's now just shooting more and scoring more. 27 minutes, 4-for-6 from the field, 2-for-4 from 3, 13 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. The Bulls 100, the Pistons 94, and again, it looks like the Pistons are going to are going to get the first seed in the East. One other game, and this game had playoff implications. Down 7-8, Rockets against the Nuggets in Denver. The Nuggets win 101-86. The Nuggets now 33-27. The Rockets 32-28. So Denver one game up on Houston in their playoff battle. We'll go over the standings in a little bit. Flalo with 20 points and 4 rebounds for Denver. Lawson, the point guard, 20 points, 5 assists. Brewer off the bench with 14 points. Fareed, the ferocious college rebounder, 10 points, 11 assists in 29 minutes. Nuggets 101, Rockets 86. Luis Scola with 19. He and Chase Budinger lead the way, 19 points apiece for Houston. Parsons with 12 points and 9 rebounds for Houston, but not enough. The Nuggets 101, the Rockets 86. A few other games just briefly. The Raptors beat Atlanta in Atlanta, surprisingly, 102-86. DeRozan with 23. Smith with 26 for the Hawks. The Magic beat the Cavaliers and clinch a playoff spot. I interviewed Brendan Malone, assistant coach for the Magic, on Sunday morning on WFAN, and he was pretty blunt on the air. He said, you know, I said to him, you want to come in sixth, you don't want to play the Heat or the Bulls. And he said, man, we're just trying to come in eighth. But with their victory over the Cavaliers, without Dwight Howard, who's got a herniated disc and might be out for a while, they do clinch a playoff spot at least. Jameer Nelson with 21 and 9 assists to lead the Magic. Anton Jameson with 21 for the Cavaliers. The Celtics just keep on winning now. They move to 36 and 25. Of course, they beat the very lowly Bobcats 94-82. Bradley leads the Celtics with 22. Rondo with 16 assists. What can you say about him? Henderson with 22 for the Bobcats. But the Bobcats now 7-52. Celtics win 94-82. In a meaningless game, the Kings at home beat Portland 104-103. Cousins with 23 points for the Kings. Matthews with 31 for the Trailblazers. And the lowly Hornets beat the Grizzlies in New Orleans. Hornets 88, Grizzlies 75. Gordon leads the Hornets with 18. Rudy Gay leads the Grizzlies with 24. The Grizzlies drop to 35 and 25, but they lose to the New Orleans Hornets. Quickly to the standings now in the NBA. Again, the Bulls 46 and 14. The Miami Heat 42 and 17. So the Heat 3.5 games behind Chicago with only 6 games left for Chicago. So unlikely Miami can possibly catch them. Indiana is the third seed. Boston 0.5 a game in front of Atlanta for the fourth seed. Atlanta right now fifth, tied with Orlando for fifth in record, 35-25, but Atlanta has the tiebreaker. Philly 31-28 in seventh. The Knicks 31-29 in eighth. Milwaukee still with an outside shot, 6 games left. Milwaukee 29-31. Detroit, New Jersey, Toronto, Cleveland, Washington, and Charlotte out of the playoff hunt. In the West, Oklahoma City still with the best record in the West, but they're 44-16, and San Antonio is 42-16. So they have the same number of losses, obviously. San Antonio has played 2 less games. The Lakers in third right now, 39-22. They're certainly not going to move up. The Clippers right behind them, though, 37-23, so they're vying for the 3-4 spots. Memphis, after that loss to New Orleans, now drops to 35-25. They're in fifth. Dallas 34-27 in sixth. And now the battle for the last 2 playoff spots, or maybe you can say the last 3 if you count Dallas as well. Dallas 34-27, Denver 0.5 game behind, 33-27, Houston 32-28. Right now they're 6-7-8, but just out of the playoffs is Phoenix 31-29, a game behind Houston, and Utah 31-30, a game and a half behind Houston, but again, 2 games out in the loss column, and Utah only has 5 games left to play. Houston has 6, Phoenix has 6, Denver has 6. So you really do have 5 teams fighting for the final 3 playoff spots. Right now it's Dallas, Denver, Houston in, Phoenix, Utah out, Portland 28-33, maybe not mathematically eliminated, but they can't make the playoffs realistically. Minnesota, Golden State, Sacramento, and New Orleans long ago out of it. So those, the real battle is for 8th place, frankly, in both conferences, but it's a real dogfight in the West. 5 teams for the last 3 spots. And in the East, Philadelphia and New York are in right now, and Milwaukee will have to try and make a run. They're going to have to try and win 6 in a row or 5 of their last 6 to have a real shot to get to the playoffs. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Get your college sports news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
You want to put your nest egg somewhere where it will grow. Gold has given investors a 300% return over the last 10 years. You want an investment that's safe. Gold American Eagles are guaranteed by the U.S. government for weight and purity. You want to work with someone you can trust. Blanchard & Company was founded over 35 years ago. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. You want an investment that's liquid in case you need your money fast. Well, Blanchard guarantees to buy back any gold you invest in with them at the current market rates anytime you want to sell. And you want someone you can talk to ask questions and find out what's right for you. Blanchard has set up a special toll-free line to give you a free one-on-one consultation and information with a gold expert. Just call 800-309-5530. That's 800-309-5530. For free gold information, call now. 800-309-5530. 800-309-5530.
Get your Major League Baseball news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard to find parts. Visit us today at supplylineelectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. Supply Line Shannonelectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Get your NBA news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com, your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Want to know what's going on in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Join Paul Belfi and Mike Pitak.
You are a freaking lunatic!
For Pro Wrestling Insider.
Awesome!
On SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
We're back on the Steve Callis Show. We'll get to the baseball in a minute. Just a couple of miscellaneous things. Drew Brees apparently will not report to the OTAs, the organized team activities for New Orleans. Look, the guy's looking for a long-term deal. He broke the single-season passing record. He won a Super Bowl a few years ago. He's not going to report to Saints camp. A couple of other guys in his position, Matt Forte, Ray Rice, they're looking for long-term deals, apparently, and they're not going to report either. And again, they should take care of these guys. I don't know if it's just money that separates them, but how could you not want Drew Brees in New Orleans? He can't be happy over the whole bounty thing and what it's done to his team. It probably may not affect his offense, but it absolutely affects his team, and that's a big problem. There's a big issue now with those tapes that documentary filmmaker has relating to Greg Williams and the speeches he gave right before the 49ers playoff game that New Orleans lost. But the apparently it was announced today that the New Orleans Saints had copies of those tapes before they were made public, so they knew what was coming down the pike. And apparently, amazingly to me, the NFL doesn't have them yet. So the NFL is trying to get them, and that seems to be the delay in punishing some of these players. Again, I don't know how much you can punish these players. I mean, look, this is what the coaching staff put in. This is what your boss put in. If you don't listen to him, you know, what are you going to do, stand up in the meeting and say that's wrong? I'm not going to do that. You know, if you're not a big-time player, you'd be cut the next day. So I don't know how much they can do to how many players, but it shouldn't be a lot, whatever they decide to do. A couple of other things. The Giants' Brian Wilson is probably going to have season-ending elbow surgery. Obviously a big blow to the Giants. Brian Wilson, he's a little off the beaten path, but you know, I mean, he was saying, I guess, positive things. It's an opportunity. I can come back and throw harder, blah, blah, blah. You know, a lot of people tell you about Tommy John surgery and say, worst thing that can happen, you don't want to do it. But there is at least anecdotal evidence that some people come back throwing harder. And you probably heard these stories about 18, 19-year-olds who will go in and get Tommy John surgery with the hope that they will throw harder. So Brian Wilson, again, taking he's a little bit of a strange bird, but taking the positive side, but he's probably done for the season. He had an MRI. He's got some elbow damage, and they are deciding whether he should have season-ending elbow surgery. But it looks like the answer to that question is going to be yes, he is going to have season-ending elbow surgery. want to switch now to Major League Baseball. And again, early in the season, but a lot going on. I think the best place to start, you know, I understand I normally go American League, National League, but you got to start with the team with the best record in baseball, and go figure, it's the Los Angeles Dodgers. Yesterday, as I'm sure you know, was Jackie Robinson Day. Every April 15th, everybody wears number 42. Of course, the late, great Jackie Robinson wore number 42. He debuted breaking the color barrier on April 15th, 1947. And just amazingly and thankfully, Vin Scully, who had missed a few games with a cold, made it to Dodger Stadium yesterday for that anniversary and called the game. Again, Scully did Brooklyn Dodger games. I don't think he was there in 47, but he certainly was in the 50s and still does Dodger games today. And if you ever get a chance to hear him, if you have that baseball package or if there's any way by hook or by crook you can hear a Dodger home game, you should listen to Vin Scully because he's one of the greatest of all time and still doing it. I mean, really amazing that he can do it. But, of course, I'm sure it was a special moment for him to be able to actually be at Dodger Stadium and call the game. Yesterday, the Dodgers beat the Padres 5-4. The Dodgers are now 9-1, best record in baseball, obviously first in their division. Just amazing. I think Don Mattingly, we've talked about him, I think he's done not a good job, but a great job, and I think he did it last year. He did a very good job last year. You know, didn't have a whole lot to show for it, but also had all the craziness of the sale of the Dodgers, which is now behind the Dodgers, thankfully. But last year was a wacky year in Los Angeles. But the Dodgers now 9-1. They win 5-4. They score in the bottom of the ninth. Guerra gets the win. He's 1-0 in relief. Brock takes the loss. Matt Kemp, you know, triple crown threat last year, already has 6 home runs in the Dodgers' 10 games. Give him a lot of credit. For the Dodgers yesterday, Kemp goes 3-for-4. He's hitting .487, including that home run. Uribe, the third baseman, and Gordon, the shortstop, both also had 2 hits. Rivera, the left fielder, had 2 RBIs for the Dodgers. Dodgers 5, Padres 4. For the Padres, DeNorfia, the left fielder, with 2 hits, and Venable, the right fielder, 2 hits. Those are the only guys with more than 1 hit for San Diego. Volquez started for San Diego, 5 innings, gave up 4 earned, but had a no decision. Obviously, they scored in the bottom of the ninth, so that's why the starter had no decision. Kershaw wasn't Kershaw yesterday, 5 1/3 for the Dodgers, 8 hits, 4 runs, 3 of them earned, 3 walks, 3 K, but also a no decision for him. Dodgers 9-1. Again, the best record in baseball right now. A couple of other games to look at, interesting games. The Angels and Albert Pujols, and boy, when are the whispers going to start about Albert Pujols? He now has not hit a home run this year. He did drive a high fastball on Saturday to the wall in center field at Yankee Stadium, but he still has not hit a home run in 37 at-bats. This is by far his longest streak starting out a season with no home runs. The Angels drop to 3-6. They lose 2 out of 3 to the Yankees. Yankees 11, Angels 5. And again, if you watch that game, you see the amazing Derek Jeter, still being the amazing Derek Jeter. He hits a long 3-run homer. Ibanez hits a moonshot into the upper deck. If you get a chance to see that one, you don't see many upper deck jobs at Yankee Stadium. Jeter, second of the year. Ibanez is second of the year. Trumbo hits number 2 for the Angels. Iannetta gets his second of the weekend and the second of the year. Nova gets the win. He's been unbelievable. 2-0. Williams takes the loss. He's 0-1. Jerome Williams. Yankees move to 5-4. Angels drop to 3-6. Yankees 11. Angels 5. And again, Pujols in a new league. You know, who has the advantage? Should Pujols have the advantage? Is he such a great hitter? Do the pitchers have the advantage because Pujols has not seen them much before? Well, the reality is now after 9 games, Albert Pujols hitting .243 with no home runs. So I guess at least for now, that gives you your answer. Howie Kendrick, who had a great weekend against the Yankees, goes 3-for-5. He's hitting .324. Is Torres, the third baseman, he goes 3-for-3. He's batting 500. Iannetta, the catcher, had two home runs over the weekend against the Yankees. He went 2-for-4 with two RBIs. He's hitting 348. With the Yankees, Jeter's been the main man. You know, a lot of people had Jeter done last year, and some people said it was because he had all the pressure of getting his 3,000th hit as a Yankee, which I didn't believe for a second. But I thought after he went on the DL, that's what really turned him around. He wound up hitting 297 for the season after hitting 240 like the first 6 weeks of the year. Hit like 330 in the second half. Yesterday he goes 2-for-5 with that three-run homer. He's hitting 366 right now. Easily, by far, the best Yankee regular. I mean, the Yankees are having some trouble. Grandison at 194, A-Rod at 222. Cano had a good weekend, 2-for-3 with 3 runs scored yesterday. He's got his average up to 263. Teixeira, 2-for-4. His average is up to 222. Of course, he's a notoriously bad starter. Swisher, 1-for-3 with 2 RBIs. He's hitting 250. Ibanez, despite those 2 home runs, he's only hitting 217. And Russell Martin, only hitting 182. Gardner, who I complained about last week when they benched him against the lefty so Andrew Jones could start in left, he's hitting 318. It seems to me he's got to be in there every day. You know, you could put Andrew Jones at the DH, or maybe you can stick him in right field once in a while. He's not Andrew Jones, the center fielder anymore. But to sit a guy like Gardner with his speed and his ability and his defensive prowess, I think that's a huge mistake. So Nova, 6 innings, 8 hits, 4 runs, all earned, but he gets the win, 2-0 for the Yankees. And as we said, Yankees 11, Angels 5. Yankees move to 5-4. Angels drop to 3-6. One other game I want to look at, then we'll just go over the rest quickly. Tigers and the White Sox. Tigers win 5-2. Tigers move to 6-3. Porcello gets the win, 7 2/3 innings, 5 hits, 1 run earned. He's got a 1-0 record and an ERA of 1.84. Sale takes the loss. He's 1-1, 5 innings pitched, 5 hits, 3 runs, all earned. Yesterday for Detroit, fielder 2-for-5 with an RBI. He's hitting 353. Young, the left fielder, Delmon Young, 2-for-4. He's hitting 310. Cabrera, 0-for-5, only hitting 240. But Detroit gets the win. Detroit, 5. The White Sox, 2. For the White Sox, Adam Dunn, 2-for-4, only hitting 233. Ramirez, the shortstop, 2-for-4. Those are the only two guys with multiple hits for the Detroit Tigers. But the Tigers get the win. And Layard hit his first home run of the year for the Detroit Tigers. Just go over the rest of the scores quickly. Blue Jays beat the Orioles 9-2. Drabek gets the win. He's 2-0. Matus takes the loss. He's 0-2. Jones gets his third homer for Baltimore. Encarnacion gets his third for Toronto. Lurie hits his first. The Red Sox beat the Rays. Red Sox sweep the Rays. The Rays were 3-0. The Red Sox were 0-3. Now the Rays are 4-5. The Red Sox are 4-5. Padilla gets the win, 1-0. Matt Moore takes the loss, 0-1. Aceves gets his second save of the year. Luke Scott hit his second home run of the year. Aviles hit his second of the year for Boston. And Cody Ross had a big three-run homer in the second inning early to give the Red Sox a 3-0 lead. That's his second of the year. Rangers beat the Twins 4-3. Ross gets the win. He's 2-0. Perkins takes the loss. Joe Nathan gets his third save for the Rangers. Hamilton hit his fourth home run already. Napoli hit his first for Texas. Thomas hit his first for Minnesota. The Indians bury the Royals 13-7. Jimenez gets the win. He's 1-0. Mendoza takes the loss. He's 0-2. Travis Hafner, if you saw this home run, he hit a moonshot home run like 450 feet, his second of the year. Duncan hits his second of the year. Casey Kochman hits his second of the year. Kipnis, the young second baseman, is a pretty good player, hits his third of the year. Indians 13, Royals 7. Mariners beat the Athletics 5-3. Bevan gets the win. He's 1-1. Gottfried takes the loss. He's 0-2. Lee gets his fourth save. Sogard hits his first for Oakland. Justin Smoak hits his second for Seattle. Ryan gets his first for Seattle as well. National League, quickly, the Marlins beat the Astros 5-4. Chad Godin gets the win. He's 1-0. Carpenter takes the loss. He's 0-1. Hanley Ramirez hits his second. Omar Infante hits his fourth for Miami. Phillies beat the Mets to avoid a sweep, 8-2. Cole Hamels gets the win. He's 1-1. Ramirez takes the loss for the Mets. He's 1-1. Pelfrey actually pitched well for the Mets. 6 innings, 1 run, left with the lead, but he gets a no decision. Ike Davis finally hits a home run for the Mets, his first of the year. Reds beat the first-place Nationals 8-5. Arredondo gets the win. He's 1-0. Clipper takes the loss. He's 1-1. Marshall gets his first save of the year. Ludwig hits a home run for Cincinnati, his first of the year. Braves beat the Brewers. Beachy gets the win. He's 1-1. Narvison takes the loss. He's 1-1. Lucroy hits his second of the year for Milwaukee. Chipper Jones gets his second for Atlanta. And Jason Hayward gets his second for the Braves as well. The Cardinals bury the Cubs. Going to be a long year for the Cubs. They're 3-7 now. Cardinals 10. Cubs 3. Westbrook gets the win. He's 2-0. Mahomes takes the loss. He's 0-2. Molina hits his third of the year for St. Louis. Carpenter hits his first of the year. Diamondbacks beat the Rockies 5-2. Cahill gets the win. He's 1-0. Pomerantz gets the loss. He's 0-1. Shaw with his second save. Chris Young hits his fourth home run of the year already for Arizona. Pirates beat the Giants 4-1. Correa gets his first win of the year. Vogelsong takes the loss. He's 0-1. Hanrahan gets the save. Jones hits his first home run of the year for Pittsburgh. And we already talked about the Dodgers moving to 9-1 as they beat the Padres 5-4 on Jackie Robinson Day. One other thing to talk about briefly before we get to the TV and all the games tonight. Down in Washington, D.C. today, the Roger Clemens trial starts. Now, you know that trial ended in a mistrial back in July, I think it was, of 2011, and the retrial starts today. Clemens' lawyers tried to have the case dismissed based on double jeopardy, but that was a losing argument from the get-go. There seems to be mainly three pieces of evidence. Brian McNamee's testimony that he injected Roger Clemens with HGH, the syringe that supposedly Brian McNamee kept in his basement for like 6 years that has some DNA evidence against Clemens, and the syringe supposedly had HGH or some performance-enhancing drugs in it. And, of course, possibly the testimony of Andy Pettit, who is back now pitching for the Yankees. Yesterday he had a start in A-ball. You know, and the timing of this all is very interesting. The trial starts today. The Pettit moved his start back one extra day, so he would start yesterday. He pitched in the final exhibition game. The notion that he needs another 4.5-5 weeks to get ready strikes me as a little weird. I just wonder out loud if there's any connection between the timing of the fact that he has to testify probably this week or next. Is there any connection between when he's actually coming back to the Yankees, scheduled for May 1st right now? Did he want to have the testimony out of the way? I'll have an article up at sportstalknetwork.com later today on that, just kind of laying out a certain amount of things in the trial. But the Roger Clemens trial in Washington, D.C., federal court, he's on trial for obstruction of Congress, perjury, making false statements. Jury selection underway today. That trial expected to last 4 to 6 weeks. Want to go over briefly what's on TV tonight. Baseball, Twins at the Yankees, that's on the YES Network. Mets at the Braves, that's on SNY, both 7 o'clock Eastern. Basketball, if you get the YES Network, on YES 2. Miami Heat, stay in the New York area, go across the George Washington Bridge to play the New Jersey Nets down in Newark. Heat at Nets, that's 7:30 Eastern. The NHL playoffs, and again, we've talked about this a lot. The NHL playoffs, you can find every game somewhere on the NBC channels, you know, whether it's NBC Sports Channel, which used to be Versus, or CNBC, or the NHL Network, or on the weekends, they usually show one or two games on NBC itself. But tonight, three games. Bruins at Capitals, 7:30 p.m. Eastern on the NBC Sports Network. The Rangers at the Senators, that's on MSG. And the Rangers-Senators, you know, again, after all, the Senators clearly said we're going to be physical, and that's the only way we can win this series. And they won the second game, so they have home ice advantage now. And then finally, 10 o'clock, the St. Louis Blues at the San Jose Sharks. That's 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock out on the West Coast, of course. And that's also on the NBC Sports Network. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.